You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Romney said, no, let Detroit go bankrupt. We moved in and helped people refinance their homes. Governor Romney said, no, let foreclosures hit the bottom. But it shouldn't be surprising for a guy who says 47% of the American people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own lives. My friend recently in a speech in Washington said 30% of the American people are takers. These people are my mom and dad, the people I grew up with, my neighbors. They pay more effective tax than Governor Romney pays in his federal income tax. They are elderly people who, in fact, are living off of Social Security. There are veterans and people fighting in Afghanistan right now who are, quote, not paying any taxes. I've had it up to here with this notion that 47%, it's about time they take some responsibility here. And instead of signing pledges to Grover Norquist not to ask the wealthiest among us to contribute to bring back the middle class, they should be signing a pledge saying to the middle class, we're going to level the playing field. We're going to give you a fair shot again. We are going to not repeat the mistakes we made in the past by having a different set of rules for Wall Street and Main Street, making sure that we continue to hemorrhage these tax cuts for the super wealthy. They're pushing the continuation of a tax cut that will give an additional $500 billion in tax cuts to 120,000 families. And they're holding hostage the middle class tax cut because they say we won't continue the middle class tax cut unless you give the tax cut for the super wealthy. It's about time they take some responsibility.
Now that's the way you do a debate. Welcome to the afternoon after and the Tom Hartman Show for this Friday. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com. I don't know about you. Well, I'm guessing that you feel how I do. That was a fun debate to watch, not only because Joe Biden knocked one out of the ballpark, which he did, but because it was exciting, because there was stuff going on, because, yeah, I was happy, and we had someone to root for. It is Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program, and, you know, when Tom's not here, we don't do brunch with Bernie, so Bernie will be back next week. It is your turn to weigh in on what went on last week. The number, you know, 866-987-THOM, 866-987-8466, and, well, you heard my opening comment. I thought Joe Biden was great. I thought he was just what some somewhat dejected Democrats needed, right? And not only Democrats, those of us who just don't want to see Mitt Romney in the White House. It was just what we needed at the right message at the right moment. Although, if you listen to the right wingers, they weren't very happy. Yeah, you know, they were saying that Joe was mean. Really? I guess they can dish it out, but boy, they can't take it. Here's the thing. The criticism was Joe Biden was laughing. Well, you know what? It was either laugh or get angry. And you don't want to get angry. In fact, you want to, as we heard our media expert yesterday, our media trainer, Joel Silberman, say, you know what? Joe Biden has got to hit back and hit back hard, but do it with a smile on his face. Well, that's exactly what he did. And I'll tell you, the Fox pundits just couldn't handle it. In fact, I think it was Gretchen Carlson who said, you know, I get that Joe Biden probably won the debate, but, you know, Paul Ryan should have jumped up and smacked him or something, words to that effect. Well, you know, that kind of happened yesterday in a debate in California between two congressmen. Democratic Representatives Brad Sherman and Howard Berman, who are now running against each other in California because of redistricting. And so now, you know, their districts, I guess, are being combined. And what happened, 57-year-old Brad Sherman seized the shoulder of 71-year-old Howard Berman during the debate, yanked him toward his chest and shouted, "You want to get into this?" Not the way to do a debate. We'd rather see somebody flashing those pearly whites, although I got to say Joe Biden's teeth a little too white. You know, he was a little too toothy. I know I'm getting a little snarky here. Bottom line is I was thrilled. I thought Joe Biden knocked it out of the ballpark. It was exactly what we needed. We've got lots of clips to play, lots of moments to relive. There were even a few zingers. And I got to say, that Joe Biden zingers more came in the form of, showing, he could have said, there you go again. Look, I'm not going to take advantage of my opponent's age and inexperience. Instead, he laughed. He laughed at the ridiculousness of some of the things that Paul Ryan was saying. Paul Ryan came back with some real snarky things, like Shane, play cut number 10.
That didn't
what we're
happen.
Saying,
more people signed
these are
up.
From your own
more,
actuaries.
More people signed up for Medicare Advantage after what, the change.
What they're
no,
saying.
Nobody is.
Mr. Vice President,
down.
I know.
No, this is
Mr. Vice President.
Little...
I know you're under a lot of duress to make up for lost ground. But I think people will be better served if we don't keep interrupting each other.
Yeah, I know you're under a lot of duress to make up for lost ground. And I'll tell you, that was a genuine laugh on the part of Joe Biden. You see, look, he was laughing. That was obviously a scripted moment for Paul Ryan. You know, that one was ready to go. Another scripted moment, play number 11. This was another good zinger from Paul Ryan.
I think the vice president very well knows that sometimes the words don't come out of your mouth the right way.
Ooh, snap.
But I always say what I mean.
But I always say what I mean. Yes, he does. Who do you love? You remember that? Who do you love? That was Joe Biden when he sort of jumped the gun a few months back on the issue of same-sex marriage, when he forced President Obama's hand to come out and say, okay, yes, we all embrace. It's about who you love. Joe Biden, love him or hate him. And I don't know anybody who hates Joe Biden. How can you hate that guy? He's your lovable, funny Uncle Joe. And I think he did exactly what was needed. But what's really shocking is somebody on Twitter just said, I'm slobbering all over Joe Biden. Look, I understand the guy's got his foibles, and I'm not slobbering. Look, I mentioned his teeth are too big and kind of fake looking. Would I have liked to see him take it down just a tad? Maybe. But you know what? I'm not going to criticize. I think he walked away with that thing last night. Unless, of course, you listen to the right-wing pundits who, it was a draw. It was a tie. Really? We'll get into some of that later. I do want to hear from you. What did you think? And of course, it's not only about the debate today. It is Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Show. So anything you want to talk about, we'll have a couple of people stop by, but, for the most part, it's all up to you. So let's start a first call of the day. We go to Alan in Rockville, Maryland, watching on Free Speech TV. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Okay. Well, what I want to talk about is I want to really start making sure that we turn around the notion that Ryan and Romney are the advocates for small business, that they're their savior. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ryan mentioned, this comment about 53% of small businesses are going to pay more taxes. Well, that's already been debunked. Now, what hurts small businesses? Not taxes, not Obamacare, but the drop in consumer spending caused by the Republican recession.
Yeah.
My wife had a business that went out in 2003 caused by that and higher rents, not because of taxes. Not, and she was paying health care at that time. So, it's not this notion. We got to drive home that it is not Romney and Ryan that are the advocates for small business.
No, you're absolutely right. And at one point, I think Joe Biden last night said, yeah, to Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, Bain Capital is a small business. Those aren't the names of the companies, but he threw out the names of some pretty big businesses. That's what they consider small business. No, to you and me, a small business is a mom and pop that we pour our heart and soul into, right? All right, back with more of your calls next. Nicole Sandler for Tom Hartman.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, today it's all about you and me. Call in 866-987-THOM, 987-8466.
Just the thought of you can drive me wild. Oh, you make me smile.
Ah, yes, I guess that one goes out to Joe Biden. I enjoyed the smiling, even if it was a bit toothy. Nicole Sandler, in for Tom Hartman. Somebody who didn't enjoy the smile was Chris Wallace of that fake news channel. Let's hear cut number 17, Shane.
I don't believe that I have ever seen a debate in which one participant was as openly disrespectful of the other as Biden was to Paul Ryan tonight. And that's what it was. You can talk about the smirks, the smiles, the head shaking, the mugging. It was openly contemptuous and disrespectful.
Really?
And it wasn't just the facial gestures, it was also the words. In the course of the night, he dismissed various arguments by Ryan as malarkey,
yeah,
bunch of stuff.
Right.
I don't know what these guys are talking about, loose
right.
talk and bluster.
Yeah.
It was really quite an extraordinary, and I have to say, from my experience, unprecedented performance in a presidential or vice presidential debate by one of the participants.
Excuse me, what is it? So, point being, yes, it was malarkey. It was a bunch of stuff. That was fun. Joe Biden says a bunch of stuff, and Martha Raddatz says a bunch of stuff. What does that mean? And actually, Paul Ryan jumped in. That's an Irish thing. We have that. A bunch of stuff. What numbers? Oh,
this
number
is
one.
A bunch of stuff. Look, here's the deal.
What does that mean, a bunch of stuff?
Well, it means it's simply inaccurate.
It's Irish.
It's Irish. It is. We Irish call it malarkey.
Thanks for the translation.
Okay. We Irish call it malarkey.
But it was. I mean, look, what we had, the alternative is what we had last week during the presidential debate when we're screaming at the TV. It's like, tell him it's a lie. Well, this time, boy, Joe Biden jumped right out of the gate calling a lie a lie. It's not disrespectful if it's the truth, right? All right. Dave in Merrillville, Indiana, listening to KPOJ.com. Hi.
Hello, can you hear me all right?
I hear you just fine. What's on your mind,
okay.
Dave?
I wish Obama did it last time, and hopefully he'll do it next time. I was hoping Biden would say that. They always say, why our recovery has taken so long. The simple reason is all past recoveries, especially in the 80s and 90s and before, most of our jobs were in the United States. So when somebody went out and spent money, it went to buy products that were made in the United States, which needed more workers. The real job creators got more jobs, and that's what propelled the economy. Now when we go buy something, it goes over to China. And when China started falling behind, when we were trying to do our recovery, they started their recovery, and they said, you have to buy from China for the recovery. But when we tried to do it here, the Republicans or somebody said, no, we have to – if we put contracts out, we have to let Chinese bid for the contract,
right,
instead of just ours. You know, that's what we really need it, you know, to be in our country. And I wish somehow somebody could get to the president and say, hey, you know, this ought to be known that we have to get these jobs back.
Well, you're right. Look, I'm all in favor of some kind of a Buy America program. In fact, when they did the Cash for Clunkers thing, I thought one of the biggest problems with that was that you could buy foreign-made cars. I think it should have been a program to buy American cars. Now, look, we got to credit the Obama administration for saving the auto industry because we know Mitt Romney would have let it go bankrupt. But we need to encourage American jobs. We need to start putting tariffs back in place. You know, we need to start shoring up American industry. Now, a big part of it, and thank you for the call, it's a really good point. You know, another point Joe Biden made continuously, as often as he could, was the fact that this Republican Congress, of which Paul Ryan is a part, is blocking things left and right. I think the memorable line was, you guys have to get out of the way. Just get out of the way. I like that one. Robert, listening on Sirius in Reading, Pennsylvania. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Nicole. I watched a debate with my sixth grader. She's 11 and a half. Actually, she'll be 12 in December. I shouldn't say that. And I sat down with her and I said, I just want you to tell me what your thoughts are or what you think of the debate. I tried not to make any facial motions. I didn't say anything. And she only made it through to almost 10 o'clock because she had to go to bed.
Sure.
And her point was that she felt that Vice President knew what he was talking about. He sounded more convinced. He was assertive, especially the point when Mr. Ryan said that he had asked, or he pointed out he had asked for the stimulus money. She actually said, why would Ryan say, you know, say that, ask for that, and then criticize the vice president? I thought that was probably one of the highlights of the debate.
Yes,
I just wanted to give you my impression of, I sat down with my daughter. She's on a debate. She's had previous debates and just to get her impression. And she definitely thought that the vice president was more articulate and more forceful and more assertive, and therefore she thought that he certainly won the debate.
Good. Well, you got a smart kid there.
I try. We have to give them wings, right? It's
yes,
a cliche,
we do.
We have to give them
yes,
wings.
We do. Of course, my daughter. Thanks for the call, Robert. I appreciate it. My daughter is 13, and she keeps saying to me, "Mom, are we Democrats or Republicans? We're Democrats, honey." Even though, look, I try to explain to her, I'm more an independent than a Democrat. That I, you know, I just want her to realize that this is the side that we're on right now. The part about Shane, play cut number four. This is the cut he was talking about. Oh, it's too long. Okay, we'll do it on the other side. But basically, Joe Biden called Paul Ryan out on the fact that he sent him two letters asking for stimulus money for his district from the stimulus package that he voted against. Well, you know what? There's audio floating around the interwebs. You know, George W. Bush put through, I want to say, three stimulus packages while he was the president because, you know, the stimulus will stimulate, stimulus money will stimulate the economy. And Paul Ryan was a vociferous advocate for that stimulus spending. There are speeches that he made on the floor of the House advocating for stimulus spending because it will get the economy moving. It'll help create jobs. You see, but the way they think is, well, stimulus money is only good if it's, you know, under a Republican administration. This is the kind of stuff we need to stop. All right, it's Anything Goes Friday, back with more of your calls next. Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
All right, you can also follow me on Twitter at Nicole Sandler. And yes, I do check the Twitters all the time, even during the show.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into
All right, that's for everybody who's still suffering from their debate hangover last night, because, you know, the drinking game, those sips were coming fast and furious. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com, in for Tom Hartman today, and joining me on the line is Joshua Holland, senior writer and editor of Alternet, alternet.org, and also a fixture on the Twitters at Joshua Hall, H-O-L. You were having fun on the Twitter last night, huh?
I actually watched the debates at a bar for the first time.
Oh, and so...
It was raucous. It was really interesting. It was a very different experience than watching it at home, as I've done all the others, because usually I have to do a post-debate write-up, but I got off that duty last night.
Yeah, I see. You turned that over to Adele Stan, who did... I love the piece she has up today, 10 Best Biden Put-Downs of Paul Ryan in the Debate.
Biden was pugnacious, as everybody expected him to be.
He was. I thought he was even better than I expected him to be. What do you think?
You know, I he has that reputation as kind of a bumbling pole, but I've actually watched him debate many times, and I was not surprised to see him do a very good job. He's a very skilled debater. He always has been. Those gaffes are, you know, things that he says on the stump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that he prepared very, very well for last night's debate, especially after the criticism of Obama for not rehearsing enough for the first
right.
debate.
You could say he's a master debater.
You could.
Anyway, Joshua Holland is with us. You know, it's funny because Shane played Closing Time in reference to, you know, the drinking game, I suppose. Fox News is, I guess, you know, classy people that they are alleging that Joe Biden was drinking. Apparently, Sean Hannity was I guess doing his show live. I don't watch that channel, but I had Mitch McConnell, of course, the senator from Kentucky, and he alluded to the fact that, you know, they've got this good Kentucky bourbon there in Kentucky. Hannity said, "I noticed you guys were giving away bourbon to people over here," and McConnell said, "It's the home of bourbon." And Hannity said, "I wonder if Joe had some before the debate." And then I guess Mike Huckabee picked up on that today as well. What's wrong with these people? They're sore
they're
losers.
An outrage machine. You have to gin up outrage 24/7 to be Fox News. There's a lot of criticism about him smiling. There's, you know, endless endless controversies and poutrages. It's typical. One of the things that I think was really important to understand is that debates don't matter. The only thing that matters is the narrative that emerges from the debate. And this was, I think, certainly less of a decisive victory than Romney's mm-hmm. win last week, and kind of a mixed media response. I think that the majority of pundits and commentators had scored it a Biden victory, but it mm-hmm. was inconclusive enough that both sides could claim that they won.
I guess, although I don't see how they can claim they won. I thought Joe Biden came across looking as the inexperienced young guy, you know, in the shadow of this guy who knows his stuff.
Paul Ryan, yes.
Right?
I think you're right.
I mean,
that's
Ryan,
the debate that I saw. But again, the debate doesn't matter. I mean, look at the first debate, the presidential debate. This was not a disaster for Obama the way it's been portrayed. It was a very flat performance. He was timid and unaggressive.
Yep.
It was clear that Romney won. But the discourse that followed, you know, you'd think that Obama had thrown up on his lectern.
Right.
It just was not that disastrous.
That's
However,
true.
The media narrative has been disastrous for Obama. So
this is the point
that I'm making, that it's not so much the debate as a reaction. There was actually a study in 2004. They had a group of people watch the debate between – one of the debates, I don't remember which one – between Bush and Kerry. And another group watched the debate plus watched 20 minutes of the recap on NBC, the pundits talking about it afterwards. And
uh-huh.
a third group watched the debate and then read stuff on CNN.com. And the three groups had markedly different ideas of what had happened in the debate, even though they all watched the debate.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And I guess colored by the coverage they were subjected to afterwards.
Yes, that's right.
In fact, apparently today, somebody, I think Tamron Hall tweeted from MSNBC that CNN today is admitting that they oversampled Republicans in their debate polling. And maybe that is a reason why the CNN, I guess, whatever
that
they
poll.
Do, their Instapoll thing, had it tied. Who knows?
Yeah, right? The CBS snap poll showed a fairly decisive victory for Biden. I believe it was 51 to 31.
Wow. And
so that's pretty decisive.
Yeah. So Joshua Holland, I think the big winner last night, aside from one part, was Martha Raddatz. I thought she was great. Can we get her back again?
Well, I think Jim Lehrer had set the bar so low in the previous debate,
yeah.
just letting himself be pushed around by Romney, that she didn't have to do that much better to come out
really good. But she did do well. I thought she asked good questions. She asked good follow-up. For the most part, she kept control over what was going on. My one real complaint about her was she – here, Shane, can you play cut 14A? It's just this question.
Let's talk about Medicare and entitlements. Both Medicare and Social Security are going broke and taking a larger share of the budget in the process.
Yeah.
No benefits for
Americans. Okay, you can cut it now. No, they're not.
This really was painful. The deficit questions were painful. You know, I thought that the questions about Libya were a little charged, although I understand that she had to ask them.
Right.
Yes, it's ridiculous. And even framing it as entitlements,
for
me, that's an inherently conservative frame. You know, these are very popular programs. Social Security is in great shape financially. Medicare... It reflects the problems with a broken healthcare system, and it's about healthcare costs. It has nothing to do with Medicare per se. It's the same healthcare costs that are plaguing private businesses and
mm-hmm.
You know, other parts of the healthcare system. If you're self-employed, it's a problem for you. It's just a healthcare cost. And interestingly, we talk about budget deficits. And if we spent the same amount per person on health care as all of the 30-plus countries that have a longer life expectancy than we have,
uh-huh.
we would be looking at budget surpluses. It's entirely a health care issue.
I hear you loud and clear. And, if we can get the profit motive out of healthcare, in addition to not spending or to what you just said, I'm not going to paraphrase, but if we took the profit out of it, this is the only industrialized nation that has a for-profit health insurance industry and a for-profit healthcare system. It's insane.
It's also, driven by inefficiency. It's not just profits. It's also shuffling around a lot of paper. There's a ton of administrative work that, single-payer, so-called single-payer systems don't face. So, we're wasting a lot of money
on
figuring out who's going to pay which bill instead of delivering actual cost of care. That's not even profits. That's just wasted money on inefficiencies.
You're right. And that's, the Obamacare has it built in that the insurance companies have to spend 80% of your premium dollars on actual health care. Well, the overhead for Medicare is like 3%. Hello?
Right. This is one of these things that is really interesting. People are getting rebate checks from their insurers because of this. And you would think that would be a big story and a pretty popular provision, and you don't hear much about it.
No, you don't. And we at my household got about an $800 check, which was pretty awesome.
Sweet. That's
because
sweet.
United Healthcare was spending more money on profits and administrative costs than they were supposed to, and you look at why you get the check. Joshua Holland, so what do you any predictions for Tuesday night, the second presidential debate?
Yeah, Obama is going to come out swinging. He has to come out swinging. And I think that it's been pretty well reported that Obama regretted his poor performance and his decision not to rehearse as much as he should have. I believe it was Politico that reported that he had apologized to some of his senior staffers who had urged him to take some time off of the campaign trail and rehearse. So I think you're going to see a very different dynamic in the next debate. The other thing that's going to be different is that the expectations game, which is, one of those stupid pundit things, is going to look very different. Going into the first debate, it was widely expected that Obama would beat Romney, and now going into the second debate, it's not going to look the same way.
Yeah, and now they'll be expecting the Gish Gallop. You know about the Gish Gallop, right?
I do, yes.
We'll talk about that a little later. Yeah, I think it's going to be the only downfall is that Candy Crowley is the moderator.
That's potentially going to be very, very painful to watch. And, we should be careful about our drinking game, the structure of our drinking game, so we don't end up in the hospital.
That's right. Don't watch that one in a bar. The good part is, though, that this one is going to be a town hall format, so there will actually be some other people asking the questions, not just Candy.
And I think that may also favor Obama slightly. I mean, Mitt Romney is not well known for being able to connect to ordinary people.
No. And, look, Obama isn't the best when it comes to, being a regular person. But compared to Mitt Romney, he is. I was going to make an analogy, but I couldn't pull a name out of there. Anyway, Joshua Holland, always great to talk with you. Find Joshua at Alternet and doing a weekend show as well at weactradio.com. Josh, thanks so much for jumping in today. Go get some of the hair of the dog that bit you or whatever this is.
Thanks for having me, Nicole.
Thanks, Joshua. Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman. Stick around. More of your calls next.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And call into the show, 866-987-THOM, 866-987-8466. Nicole Sandler back in today for Tom Hartman, and happy to be here. Before Joshua Holland came on, we were running out of time, but a caller mentioned the clip where Joe Biden was chiding Paul Ryan on asking for stimulus money. Let's listen to that. It's cut number four.
His colleague runs an investigative committee, spent months and months and months going into
this. This is the Inspector General.
Months and months. They found no evidence of cronyism. And I love my friend here. I'm not allowed to show letters, but go on our website. He sent me two letters saying, by the way, can you send me some stimulus money for companies here in the state of Wisconsin? We sent millions of dollars. You know why he said
he did ask for stimulus money.
Sure he did. By the way,
on two occasions, we advocated for constituents who are applying for grants. That's what we do. We do that for all constituents who are
I love that. I love that. This is such a bad program, and he writes me a letter saying, writes to the Department of Energy a letter saying, the reason we need this stimulus, it will create growth and jobs. His words.
Hello.
And now he's sitting here looking at me. And by the way, that program, again, investigate it. What the Congress said was it was a model. Less than 0.4% waste or fraud in the program. And all this talk about cronyism. They investigated, did not find one single piece of evidence. I wish he would just be a little more candid.
I wish he would be a little more candid. That's another way for saying, I wish he would just tell the truth. But, you know, it was, I want to say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, Chris Hayes on Up with Chris Hayes, a great show if you're up early on weekend mornings on MSNBC, pulled out video of Paul Ryan on the floor of the House of Representatives advocating for voting for George W. Bush's stimulus spending because it will create jobs. Yeah, you know, that's out there, too. So they like spending, so they like stimulus, as long as it's for a Republican president. Now, Shano, you found some audio of Mitt Romney advocating for stimulus spending, too, huh?
I think there is need for economic stimulus, and government can help make that up in a very difficult time. But okay. He's right to try and push a stimulus plan, in my view.
Okay, there you go. Short and sweet. All right, let's get back to the phones. All right, we'll go to Michael, watching in New York City, watching on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. Hi, Michael. Michael, you there? Oh, no. All right. Sorry, Michael, we missed you. Peter, watching on Free Speech TV from Culver City, California, my old home.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, the point, I want to make a few points. The first one, you know, this Ryan, you know, he's as weak as Dan Quayle. I don't think he will ever become a nominee for the Republican Party, and he's going to lose this election, too.
I hope so.
I don't know if he can even keep his Congress seat in Wisconsin. Let us see. And the second point I want to make is Iran. This Ryan said, when that came up to Vice President Biden, that Iran has already got, you know, when Obama took office, that was 2009, that Iran had enriched uranium fuel, already they have it. So that takes about 6 to 8 years to work and process to get uranium-rich fuel. So they have been working before 2009 for 8 years, when Bush, Cheney, and Ryan were running the country, the Republicans, and they were sleeping at the switch. one more point I will make. I don't know, in this debate thing, when everybody forgot, one news I heard was the teabagger Joe the Plumber.
Yeah.
He was supposed to debate last night, his Democratic candidate Marcy, and he didn't show up.
Oh,
so
really?
It was like a
Marcy Kaptur is going to
scenario with the chair, empty chair,
yeah.
And Marcy.
Oh, how funny. Marcy Kaptur, of course. Thank you for the call, Peter. Some good points there. Yeah, Marcy Kaptur is won the primary against Dennis Kucinich again because of redistricting and the new census numbers that both their districts were sort of combined. They wanted Dennis Kucinich out of there. Unfortunately, they won. That would be the Republican leadership in the state of Ohio. Joe the Plumber is a joke. And, you know, I'm not surprised. I didn't hear anything about that, but I am not surprised. Hey, Shane, you know what? Speaking of Iran, I'll tell you, one of my favorite parts of the debate was when Joe Biden looked right at Paul Ryan and said, you know, you're trying to call us out on Iran, on our sanctions. What would you do differently? It's cut number 22.
What would my friend do differently? If you notice, he never answers the question.
No, we would not be going through the UN on all of these things.
You don't go through the UN. We are in the process now and have been for months in making sure that help, humanitarian aid, as well as other aid and training is getting to those forces that we believe, the Turks believe, the Jordanians believe, the Saudis believe, are the free forces inside of Syria. That is underway.
You know, Joe Biden has spent decades decades on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Paul Ryan just showed his lack of chops there. Very telling. Very, very telling. All right. Mark Taylor Canfield is on the line from Huffington Post. This isn't about the debate. Mark, what's going on?
Well, I have a couple of really quick news reports and breaking news stories to let you know about and let your audience know about. But I wanted to say, Nicole, I'm a big fan of Radio or Not. So
thank you
for what you've been doing.
Thanks so much.
But also a couple of quick comments on the debate, actually, since you're talking about it. I would say to Chris Wallace, obviously he never saw the first debate between Romney and Obama when Mitt Romney pretty much stepped all over the moderator and the president himself. So
That's true. You want to talk about rude. Hello.
Yeah, there's so many contradictions in their response to this debate. Another one is, you know, if people think that our vice president may have had a few whiskeys, they should listen to certain people on the Senate floor sometimes on the Republican side. Mr. Boehner might be someone you might want to listen to on a bad day and compare.
Yeah.
And
maybe in the
also,
house.
You
know what? You're going to have to hold through the break because obviously the music is starting. We got a break for the news at the top of the hour. So hold on, and we'll get the last of those thoughts and your report on an anti-austerity protest happening tomorrow, because that's some important stuff. So Mark Taylor Canfield, hold on. All right. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom Hartman. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll be back. Don't go away.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It is the Tom Hartman Program, and once again, you got Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom. He'll be back Monday. I'm thrilled to be here and honored and happy to be talking with you on this Anything Goes Friday, and we'll get back to more of your calls. I know most people want to talk about the debate, and we still have Mark Taylor Canfield, who's going to let us know about an anti-austerity protest tomorrow. But I do want to let you, one of my favorite journalists is Matt Taibbi. He does great work for Rolling Stone. And if you think Rolling Stone is just about music, you need to pick up a copy and read Matt Taibbi. He writes some amazing stuff on Goldman Sachs and just, you know, he goes into a lot of depth that other journalists don't. Anyway, he's got a column up today on his Taibbi blog at rollingstone.com about the debate last night and about the criticism that a lot of outlets are lobbing at Joe Biden because of his demeanor last night. I just want to read you a little bit from Matt Taibbi's piece today. He said, you know, many outlets are criticizing Biden's dramatic excesses, his tone. Biden did absolutely roll his eyes, snort, laugh derisively, and throw his hands up in the air whenever Ryan trotted out his little beady-eyed BS-isms. I like that, BS-isms. But he should have. He was absolutely right to be doing it. We should all be doing it. That includes all of us in the media, and not just paid obnoxious opinion merchants like me, that's Matt Taibbi saying that, but so-called objective news reporters as well. We should all be rolling our eyes and scoffing and saying, come back when you're serious. That's a great point. Come back when you're serious. I mean, look, they're wasting our time with lies and half-truths and misleading statements. Come back when you're serious. I like that. All right. Mark Taylor Canfield, I punched you in before and we only had a minute to go. So thanks for the kind words before the break. And so tell us what's happening. Look, you know, before you get there, I do want to make one other point. For the Republican Party to be criticizing Barack Obama because the recovery isn't fast enough or robust enough. First of all, when they came into office, when George Bush took office, you know, now almost 12 years ago, not 12 years ago, they came in with a surplus. Bill Clinton left them with a budget surplus. And George W. Bush, with his tax cuts and two unpaid-for wars drove us into this financial crisis that we're still digging ourselves out of. That's number one. Number two is, they're responsible for so many of these policies, and you know, they're screaming that, that Obama hasn't fixed it fast enough. Get over yourselves. It is just, it is infuriating that they even go there. Anyway, the rest of the world is also in real serious financial straits as well. I mean, look at Spain with 25% unemployment, and the housing crisis we have here is happening all over the world. So the fact that we're seeing growth in jobs, we're seeing growth in our GDP, we're seeing the economy growing, albeit slowly, it's still better than many other places around the world. So, my God, give the guy some cut the guy some slack here. All right, that said, now, Mark Taylor Canfield, there are, we still have this Republican Party that wants to put into place these massive austerity measures, and we can see from Europe that austerity doesn't work. So what's this protest happening tomorrow?
Well, you know, in reference to your previous sound clips, it was George W. Bush who was pushing very hard on major bailouts. So this whole idea of stimulus actually came from the Bush administration. So the GOP is just full of contradictions. But
yes, they are.
Tomorrow, around the world, and most people are probably not reporting on this yet, Nicole, but there's going to be a series of events against these austerity measures. It was started with the Ignatos movement in Spain, but it's spread now. There's going to be major protests in France, Germany, the UK, Mexico, Australia, Canada, the US, Japan, all over the world, over 35 different countries. And what they're going to do is people are going to take to the streets and they're going to bang on pots and pans, which is a tradition that actually started in Argentina in 2001, but it's been repeated in Iceland and Montreal recently. But it's a way of getting people's attention and to say that, you know, we have to fix this system and that people do not want to accept these austerity measures that are being forced on them all over the world. So all across the country in the United States, there will also be major protests going on and a whole series of events happening in Seattle for the next few days. And I just wanted to let everybody know that if you want to find out more about this, you can go to globalnoise.net and you can see a map, which is just amazing, of all the countries around the world that are going to participate starting tomorrow. And also another story that people don't know about because it's really not getting coverage except for maybe my stuff at the Huffington Post in a real good article at Salon, and that's there is a federal grand jury actually happening in Seattle. It's been convening since August 5th. And at this point, there are actually three activists who have been jailed from Portland and Seattle for refusing to cooperate with the federal grand jury, which they claim is just a witch hunt. And the National Lawyers Guild is actually agreeing with them and has called for U.S. Attorney Jenny Durkin to drop all of the subpoenas. So that's a story that's not really being covered around the country.
On what topic? You said they're not cooperating with federal authorities. On what? What is the case?
It's a secret grand jury, so any documents pertaining to any warrants and subpoenas are sealed. And there were actually very intense raids that took place, rather violent, actually, in Portland and Seattle in July, where FBI and Seattle SWAT police broke into activist houses. And what they did was they ended up confiscating political material, computer, cell phone, thumb drives. So the only thing that people have been able to figure out at this point is that they seem to be especially concerned about anarchists. And that might have something to do with the May Day protests here in Seattle where some windows were broken.
Sure.
But the people who have been subpoenaed are saying that they weren't even in Seattle on May Day and they have no idea. In fact, one of the women there's been two women who have been jailed at a federal facility here in SeaTac, Washington. And Leah Lynn Plant said that, you know, she she didn't endorse the things that happened during May Day and wasn't even in Seattle. And the federal court, actually, the grand jury, is not trying to hold her on any charges. They've admitted that she's not guilty of any crime. They're just trying to get her to cooperate and give information about maybe other people she's met along the way or something. But what the activists are saying in Seattle and all around the country, and there's actually been some solidarity protests in other countries on this issue. They're just saying that, you know, it's a witch hunt and political repression, and that, you know, confiscating people's political material is kind of ridiculous in a country that has a constitution that guarantees.
I hear you. Look, right. You know, we have a situation too where for instance Twitter is turning over all Occupy Wall Street related tweets to the NYPD and maybe to DHS. I don't know how high up it goes. You know, these are the kind of things that really get me angry. The fact, you know, that we found out through FOIA requests, my friend Jason Leopold over at truthout.org did some great work on this and found out, you know, that there was some coordination among law enforcement agencies and the Department of Homeland Security when it came to, and I'll say spying on the activities of Occupy protesters. You know, those are the kind of things that make it really difficult for me to stand here and go, rah, 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 President Obama. However, and I'll say this again, I think that it'll be easier for us to push back against those kind of excesses, those kind of abuses of our civil liberties with a Democrat in office than it would be against someone like Mitt Romney or any Republican in office. So, again, my push is elect as many progressives as possible to Congress, and we have a fighting chance against this kind of stuff. Mark Taylor Canfield, find him at Huffington Post. Thanks so much for great information today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Nicole.
All right. Bye-bye, and thanks for the kind words, too. Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom Hartman. More of your calls coming up next, so don't go away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, the number is 866-987-THOM. We got Cecile Richards coming up soon from Planned Parenthood, too.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking looked on to something shocking. Now heaven knows, anything goes.
Ah, yeah, it's Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Show. So get in line. We'll take in your calls, but we'll be back with your calls in a moment. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom today, and I'm thrilled to speak with our next guest. Cecile Richards is on the line. I think she's here today just on her own, on her own time, not necessarily as president of Planned Parenthood, just out supporting the Barack Obama and Joe Biden ticket. Isn't that right, Cecile?
Yeah, that's right, Nicole. I'm so concerned about what's happening in this election in terms of what Mitt Romney said he's going to do to women's health care that I've taken a break from my job and volunteering full time now for the Obama campaign. So it's great talking to you.
Well, it's great talking to you, too. And it's funny because I just retweeted something that you tweeted, and it says Paul Ryan co-sponsored a bill that allows hospitals to refuse to perform an abortion even when the mother's life is at risk. This is something that he wasn't verbalizing last night. In fact, last night he was saying what Mitt Romney believes, and that the Romney-Ryan campaign believes in an exception to their no abortion rule for the health and the life and the health of the mother. That's not been Paul Ryan's position, has it?
Well, no, it hasn't, and I feel like, you know, women aren't really getting a straight story from Mitt Romney. He seems to be trying to muddy the waters, but it was clear to me last night that what Paul Ryan said is he and Mr. Romney believe that politicians and legislatures should be making the most personal decisions that women make, and that they would rather have government be involved in what is appropriately decided decisions that should be made by women and their doctors. And we only heard just the beginnings of it, but I think the other thing that's so important for women and men to understand is that Mitt Romney's not only pledged to do everything he can to overturn Roe versus Wade, but also he said he wants to, get rid of Planned Parenthood, in his words, which is, we have provide health care to 3 million folks every single year. And then, of course, they've also pledged on day one to end insurance coverage for birth control for women. These are things that are so important to women, not only as healthcare issues, but frankly as economic issues for them and their families.
Right. And you know, Cecile, I think it's also important to men because the last time I
That's
checked,
right.
a lot of men like having sex with women.
Apparently. And look, I mean, our own polling at Planned Parenthood shows that men are as committed to Roe versus Wade. This has been a law of the land for 40 years in this country. So, I mean, Mitt Romney is talking about taking us back not just 4 years, but 40 years.
Yeah.
And I think that this is, it's a concern, you're right, to women, to men, to families. I think people are incredulous that we're actually even debating the right to birth control in America. That's something that 99% of women use.
Right.
And you're exactly right. Men have as much interest and women being able to get access to birth control as women do.
Exactly. So, Cecile Richards, I'm sure you hear it all the time, but your mother was an amazing woman. For those who don't know, Cecile's mother was Ann Richards, former governor of Texas, just a feisty, fiery, incredible powerhouse. What would she say about this, that the fact that it's in 2012 we are actually fighting for women's rights to their reproductive rights to control their own bodies?
Look, I think what Mom would say is she would be in total disbelief that she would have to worry that her granddaughters, my daughters, could have fewer rights than she had. I mean, this is, you talk about going backwards, and we look at all the gains that women have made in this country, they largely stem from women being able to plan their families. And that's why women are now, you know, more than half the undergraduates in college and half the law school students and now doing, you know, living incredible lives and having children, but also having a career or doing whatever they choose to do. I think that would be, it would be discouraging to my mom. And frankly, I hear from women all the time who said they cannot believe that they're going to have to fight these battles over again. And unfortunately, that's exactly what Mitt Romney's promising.
It is. And another thing that's really disconcerting, everything about him really is, but yesterday I played a little montage of Mitt Romney's evolving positions on a woman's right to choose. And it started from 1994 when I think he was running for the Senate from Massachusetts, when he was running for governor from Massachusetts. Of course, Massachusetts, a pretty liberal state. And then, you know, when he claimed to be pro-choice. He believed in a woman's right to choose. It's a woman's body. Then all of a sudden, here we are. It's 2007. Mitt Romney wants to be president. And now all of a sudden, he thinks we should repeal Roe v. Wade. I mean, it's even more dangerous that this man doesn't take a set position, that he's going to be like a weather vane and go any way the wind blows, any way the political wind blows.
Although, you know, I know what you're saying, Nicole, but the truth is I think back in Massachusetts, that was, you know, purely for political expedience.
Of course. Absolutely.
You know, he went wherever he felt like the voters were going. I think he's been really clear. He wants to overturn Roe. He doesn't want women to have these rights. He wants to get rid of birth control coverage. He wants to get rid of Planned Parenthood.
Yep.
And it's just astounding to me that in 2012, women could have to be fighting for the right to make their own medical decisions. And you know, it's interesting, last night I was in Kentucky and watched the vice presidential debate and was watching the poll numbers. The most, when Paul Ryan said that he believed that women should not have this right, that actually politicians should make these decisions for women, it was the lowest point in all the tracking polls.
Right.
That was the most unpopular statement that he made. And I thought it was so important that Vice President Biden said, look, I have my own particular personal views, but those views shouldn't be, you know, held,
shouldn't be imposed
as
on you.
Policy.
Right. Those, I'm not going
to
impose.
These are decisions that need to be made by women, and we should trust women to make their own medical decisions.
Exactly. The height of hypocrisy coming from the right is they say they believe in small government, except in when it comes to our uteri.
That's exactly right.
It's unreal. Cecile Richards, thanks for the great work you do. I'm a big fan of Planned Parenthood, and we need you. And I'm glad you're out.
But
in support of Barack Obama. And great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Nicole.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Cecile Richards, bye-bye. Nicole Sandler in for Tom Hartman. Don't go away, okay?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
In fact, on the other side of the break, we'll play that Q&A about abortion. It's unbelievable what we heard last night. Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom Hartman. He'll be back Monday. Big thanks to him and Louise and the staff for having me here today, and to you guys for hanging out. It is Anything Goes Friday, so we're taking your calls, although I think today most people are interested in talking about last night's debate. Real treat talking to Cecile Richards just before. She does such great work at Planned Parenthood. And I wanted to play a little bit of the back and forth on the question on abortion. I wasn't thrilled with Martha Raddatz's question, the way she brought it up, the fact that both Biden and Ryan are Catholics, and the way she got into the abortion question was, how does your religion influence your work? Well, it shouldn't. It shouldn't be an issue. We have separation of church and state in this country. One's religion, look, we talked about Marcy Kaptur a few minutes ago. One of the callers said that Joe the plumber, Samuel Wurzelberger, didn't bother to show up at their debate. I like Marcy Kaptur. I think she's good on just about every issue, except she lets her religion get in the way of doing her job. If she really represents her district, her religion should have no play in it, and Marcy Kaptur is anti-choice. And I say anti-choice because I believe I'm pro-life. I'm anti-death penalty. I'm all for the life of the child after it's born, when it's actually a living, breathing human being. Unfortunately, I think today's Republican Party is all about love the fetus, hate the child. All they care about is that this zygote, this fertilized egg, is a parasite, sorry, but it is, in a woman's body, is that the woman is being forced to carry this parasite to term until that fetus is a viable being outside of the mother's body. I'm sorry, it's not a human being, and it shouldn't be treated as such. That's my view. Anyway, Shane, let's hear cut 13. This is Paul Ryan and talking about what made him, and I'm doing the air quotes if you're not watching, pro-life.
You want to ask basically why I'm pro-life? It's not simply because of my Catholic faith. That's a factor, of course. But it's also because of reason and science. You know, I think about 10.5 years ago, my wife Jana and I went to Mercy Hospital in Janesville, where I was born, for our 7-week ultrasound for our firstborn child. And we saw that heartbeat. Our little baby was in the shape of a bean. And to this day, we have nicknamed our firstborn child, Liza, Bean.
Liza Bean.
Now, I believe that life begins at conception. That's why, those are the reasons why I'm pro-life. Now, I understand this is a difficult issue, and I respect people who don't agree with me on this, but the policy of a Romney administration will be to oppose abortion with the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. What troubles me more is how this administration has handled all of these issues. Look at what they're doing through Obamacare,
okay,
with respect to assaulting the religion.
You know, the part that I found so offensive there, that little bean, that's your personal belief, and that's fine. But you know what? A lot of people at 7 weeks don't even tell anybody they're pregnant, because oftentimes in the first 3 months, that little fetus, that little fertilized egg, the thing that looks like a bean, is very vulnerable. Oftentimes, there's a miscarriage sometime during those first 3 months. So a lot of people don't even tell anyone they're pregnant until they get through that first trimester. During that first trimester, I'm sorry, that little bean-shaped thing is a parasite inside the woman's body. Now, it's all well and fine. They were excited. They call her Bean. I'm sure her Liza loves that. But just because that's their belief, it doesn't mean that he has the right to push that on other people. Later on, he goes on to, in his, I can't listen to too much of it. He talks about how, you know, it's religious freedom is being destroyed and, you know, they're trying to take away our freedom. No, Paul Ryan, you don't have to have an abortion if you don't want one. But how dare you tell a teenage girl who was stupid enough to get pregnant that she's got to carry that fetus to term, that she's got to give birth to a child. How dare you? In fact, as Joe Biden said, I'm sorry, Shane, cut number six. Here's how Joe Biden answered that same question.
My religion defines who I am. and I've been a practicing Catholic my whole life, and it has particularly informed my social doctrine. Catholic social doctrine talks about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, people who need help. With regard to abortion, I accept my church's position on abortion as what we call de fide doctrine. Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life.
Okay.
But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews.
Thank you.
I just refuse to impose that on others.
Thank you.
Unlike my friend here, the congressman. I do not believe that that we have a right to tell other people that women, they can't control their body. It's a decision between them and their doctor. In my view, in the Supreme Court, I'm not going to interfere with that.
Exactly. He has no right to impose his religious beliefs on the rest of them. Yet in the opposite world that these Republicans live in, they think that by not being able to impose their religious beliefs on the rest of us, that we're somehow infringing on their religion. It makes no sense. I'm distracted. I'm looking over to the side because somebody who goes by the Twitter name of Bizomitics tweeted me and says, abortion doesn't control your body. It destroys another's, and you don't have that right. How about respecting human life? And I wrote back what I just said on the air a couple of minutes ago, that the Republican way of thinking is love the fetus, hate the child. Because that's how they operate. Well, look, they will demand that poor, single mom who's working three jobs to keep food on the table, that she carry that pregnancy to term. But once the baby is born, well, we can't have you on food stamps. Oh, no, that would make you too dependent on government. Get another job. Right? So the person wrote back, Democrats, avoiding the point with another unsubstantiated, untruthful smear. Why are you dodging? I'm not dodging anything. You heard what I said. It is a woman's body. It is her right to do with her body what she thinks is best. The decision should be between the woman, her husband, if there is one, or the man, the father, or the person who impregnated her, and their doctor. Period. End of statement. And for Republicans to claim to be small government advocates, how dare you try to inject your government control into my uterus? It is just plain wrong. I didn't dodge any question there. If I'm unclear, feel free to call in and ask me a question. I'll clarify it even further. You can tell I'm pretty passionate on this subject. Taylor in Springfield, Illinois, listening on WCPT. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fired up right now. This
I
question
can tell
got me
fired
angry.
Up, and so am yeah. I. I'm glad Cecilia Richards was on, and her mom would probably say Romney has three platinum feet in his mouth because
right.
he grew up in a millionaire bubble.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and a Mormon bubble.
You're right.
Which gets me, huh?
You're right.
Yeah, and gets me to the point of religion.
Mm-hmm.
There has not, for me, been enough talk about the Mormon religion along with Catholicism, along with Southern Baptists, along with women and their bodies, where the Catholics and want to dictate that we don't have abortions, etc. The Mormons have had a history of polygamy and child brides.
Right.
So they don't have a lot of respect for the woman as an individual in control of her body. And then the conservative Southern Baptists seem to think, oh, they'd rather have Mitt Romney over a Protestant. I mean, it's a little all bizarre for me. I hope...
I hear what you're saying, Taylor, and I'll tell you what's even more bizarre. The talk of Mitt Romney's religion is off limits, right?
And why is it off limits?
It's mind-boggling because with Barack Obama, his religion wasn't off limits. In fact, they attacked him because they didn't like his pastor. Reverend Wright was too black and too reactionary. I don't know. And then all of a sudden the Reverend Wright thing went away. because Barack Obama sort of disavowed him for whatever reason. I don't think he should have. Then all of a sudden, okay, no, forget that one. He's a secret Muslim. You know, the whole thing, but we can't question what Mitt Romney's beliefs are as a Mormon?
Who said you can't? At the debate yesterday, she asked them about
Catholicism. Right, yeah. That was their
and
question leading to the abortion.
Well, I want to know, where did the edict come down that you can't talk about Mormonism?
I don't know. I must have missed the memo. Well, here's the thing, and I've asked journalists about this because I've raised it on my show. In fact, I've raised it when I was, I guest hosted for Randy Rhodes, and I know somebody called Tom one day and said, did you hear Nicole Sandler? She was in for Randy Rhodes, and she said some bad things about Mitt Romney's Mormonism. Well, you know what? I think all religion is weird. I'm sorry, I do. But journalists are afraid to touch this topic because they think they're going to be called a birther or a truther. Sorry, there are legitimate questions to be raised about the man who's going to be in the White House. And I think no question is off limits. That's just me.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
All right. Yeah, I sometimes put my foot in my mouth, but that's what I am. Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com, in for Tom Hartman. More of your calls now.
Ain't that good news? Man, ain't that news? Ain't that news?
All right. And it's time for the news. I'm Nicole Sandler, checking in with Victoria Jones of the Talk Radio News Service, TalkRadioNews.com. Hello.
Hey, Nicole.
How's it going?
Going great. Thank you very much.
Good. So it's the day after the big vice presidential debate, and both sides are spinning furiously.
Spinning like tops. And yep. I have two pieces of news jumping off the spinning. The first is, as you know, during the debate, there was quite a lot of discussion of Mitt Romney's tax plan and whether it adds up or doesn't. Paul Ryan, of course, saying that it did, and Joe Biden saying that it didn't. Mark Zandi, former McCain campaign advisor and chief economist at Moody's Economy, said today, well, it's mathematically impossible.
I saw
talked about the Tax Policy Center study, saying that they're nonpartisan. And he said that the Romney campaign could adjust the plan, but he said they could say, I'm not going to lower tax rates as much as I'm saying right now, and they could make the arithmetic work. But under the current plan with the current numbers, no, it doesn't. And he went on to finish by saying, no, the arithmetic doesn't work as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. No, I saw that interview this morning on Starting Point, and I'm glad to hear them say that. In fact, there was a great part during the debate when Martha Raddatz kept trying to push Paul Ryan to give specifics, and finally she just finally cut him off and said, no specifics again.
Also today, the issue of Libya, I think, is going to gain steam as we go into Tuesday's next presidential debate because of a remark that Joe Biden made, which was when he said that neither he nor the president knew about the request for extra security in Benghazi. Well, in fact, no request for extra security in Benghazi apparently had been made, although one in Tripoli had been made. Now, it is not surprising that they would not have heard ahead of the fact because it wouldn't have reached their desk.
Right.
Never, Secretary of State Clinton said today, we will never prevent every act of violence or terrorism or achieve perfect security. Our people cannot live in bunkers and do their jobs. But it is our solemn responsibility to constantly improve, to reduce the risks our people face and make sure they have the resources they need to do those jobs we expect from them. She was speaking at an event today. Now, one thing she said also was seemed like an indirect dig at the Romney campaign and congressional Republicans who've attacked the administration, shifting account of the attack in Benghazi. She said, we cannot sacrifice accuracy to speed. And she also talked about the passing the administration's request for a $770 million incentive fund to help democratic transitions in the Middle East and North Africa. I again urge Congress to move forward on this priority, she said.
You know, one other thing that I think Joe Biden attempted to point out last night was that you have the Republican led House of Representatives, the Republicans, including Paul Ryan, who voted to cut funding for additional security for our embassies and consulates around the world.
He made that point. He made that point very clearly. And it was one of those ones that Paul Ryan didn't attempt to rebut.
Right.
Because they did cut funding in the House. It was replaced in the Senate, although it wasn't replaced in the Senate to the point where the White House had requested it.
Right. So, I mean, can we call a hypocrite here? You can't criticize them for cutting funding if you voted to cut the funding. Anyway,
I'm reporting the news. I'm not going to comment here.
I know. I'm sorry. I do this to you all the time. All right. What else?
The European Union won the Nobel Peace Prize today. This is a 27-nation union. It was lauded over its role over 6 decades in building peace and reconciliation among enemies who fought Europe's bloodiest wars. Even at the same time, the continent is kind of wrestling with economic strife that does threaten its cohesion, its future, and also its currency. And there's been mixed reactions to this. People in Greece are like, really? And people in other parts of the European Union are really very excited about this. Now, Norway, which, of course, is the country that awards, whence these awards come, is not a member of the European Union, so it wasn't awarding it to itself.
Right.
But said something very interesting. The Thorbjørn Jagland, the former Norwegian Prime Minister, who's chairman of the panel awarding the prize at a news conference, said that the committee had no ambitions that the $1.2 million prize would solve the multi-billion-dollar euro crisis. But he did say something interesting. He said there are many things to say about the economic crisis, where it originated, for instance. It started in the United States, and we had to deal with it. It started with Lehman Brothers.
Okay. It started with George W. Bush, but okay.
There are also immediately arguments in Europe about who's going to accept the Peace Prize on behalf of the European Union. So even though it is a union, it's not all that united.
Right. And the other thing is, though, my first thought is, well, they can really use that money, right, to help them, because there's good prize money that goes along with it.
Yeah, $1.2 million. Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
That can help get them a little bit. I mean, I guess when we're talking about a number of countries who are in financial straits, it's not that much, but at least it's something.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Indeed.
All right. What else?
Then also Peter Berg, the creator of the TV show Friday Night Lights, is complaining to the Romney campaign about their use of the phrase clear eyes, full hearts and can't lose. They've written to Governor Mitt Romney and saying, please stop. Please come up with your own campaign slogan.
Oh, my goodness. I guess there are no original thoughts anymore, are there?
No, he says the only relevant comparison that I see between your campaign and Friday Night Lights is in the character of Buddy Garrity, who turned his back on American car manufacturers selling imported cars from Japan.
Wow. All right. I never watched the show, but I heard it was a very good one. Glad to know that they're not supporting Mitt Romney either. Victoria Jones, find her at the Talk Radio News Service at talkradionews.com. Thank you and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, too.
All right. Time for a break here. We'll come back on the other side with more of your calls and more reaction to the debate. Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom Hartman. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Tom is out today. He will be back on Monday. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com. Really happy to be here. And it seemed like I kicked up a bit of a firestorm when I referred to a fetus as a parasite. Okay, now hear me out. I'm not going to backtrack on this at all, because look, a fertilized egg is not a person. It is not a human being. It is a zygote for the first however long. I'm not a biologist either, but it is a scientific term. Parasite. A parasite is dependent on its host for its life functions. A fertilized egg, a fetus, cannot live outside the mother's womb. It is part of, is part of the mother's body. It cannot survive outside the mother's body. So, yes, I stand by that. It is a parasite. It is a scientific term. So, you know, there are people on Twitter who are really upset. Somebody, and I'm not even going to give the person's name, but I got a tweet. It said, how dare you call a fetus a parasite? You liberals are so shallow and so heartless. And I wrote back, a parasite is dependent on its host for its life functions. It can't live outside the mother's body. Therefore, yes, it is a parasite. And this person, this good Christian, wrote back, the world would probably be a better place if your parents aborted you. Okay, well then, look, you don't have to get an abortion. You can be like Joe Biden and say, I believe that life begins at conception. I don't. I believe life begins when the baby is born. When it is born, that's why that's your birthday. There's a reason it's your birthday, the day you are popped out of your mother's womb. That's your birthday because that's the day you're born. That's the day your life effectively begins. Sorry, that's fact. That's science. That's the way it works. But Joe Biden, he has that belief, but he says, I'm not going to push my religious beliefs on you. You could be Jewish, you could be Muslim, you could be Mormon or Buddhist or atheist. What I believe has, I don't have the right to push my beliefs on you. That's what a free country is. And we also have a separation of church and state. You have no right to push your religious beliefs on me. I'm sorry. You have every right to believe whatever the hell you want to believe. But when you start telling me that I have to believe the way you believe, well, that's when we get into really troubling territory here. That's not the way it works in this country. You want to live in a theocracy? Go to Iran. Go to Afghanistan, go to Pakistan, go somewhere else where the church rules the country. That's not how it works here. And I'm sorry, a woman has the right to control what goes on with her body. And until that baby is born, and I'll even go you one better, until that fetus is viable outside the womb, she should be able to do what she thinks is the best thing for her life, for her body, for her family, for her life. It is the woman's body. All right. So I think I've made myself clear here. Oh, she was, and it looks like the call dropped. All right. I wanted to get a little, infuse a little bit of comedy into the proceedings. She'll call back, but, oh, is that her? That must be her. I'm just going to punch her in. Oh, no, I think Danielle's talking to her. Anyway, I want to infuse a little bit of comedy into the proceedings. And every Thursday morning, I do a show at RadioOrNot.com, Monday through Thursday mornings from 10 to noon. And I like to, you know, go into the weekend with some humor because, you know, if we don't laugh, we cry. Look, for all the people who want to criticize Joe Biden for laughing, the alternative would have been him getting really angry, and we don't want that, right? So we're going into the weekend. I thought we'd get a little humorous look at last night's debate. So I've invited my regular Thursday morning guest on to the Tom Hartman Show. We welcome Maysoon Zayid. You can find her at maysoon.com, on Twitter at Maysoon Zayid. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm great. How'd you like the debate?
I loved it. I thought it was so much better than the presidential debate. I liked it better than Rocky IV. I thought it was awesome. And I found it really interesting that people kept being like, oh, my God, Biden was so disrespectful. Biden kept laughing. Yeah, Biden kept laughing because in order to be respected, you need to command respect. And Paul Ryan simply does not command respect. There's no reason that Joe Biden should have taken him seriously. And I felt totally fine with the fact that he was laughing, although I do
find Joe Biden's teeth to be extremely large.
Extremely large and really a little too white, right?
I don't know. But we can't insult good dental hygiene.
but they're you know, I think they're artificially that white. They were too white. He should bring them down a shade or two.
But they're better than they were against Palin. The year against Palin, they were literally glowing. This year, it was a little bit like maybe he hadn't brushed them for 3 days.
Or he's drank a little coffee, right? Because the coffee will stain.
I love Joe Biden because obviously we've said a million times I'm slightly disappointed with the Obama administration. But I thought that Joe Biden yesterday reminded people like what politicians should at least pretend to be like. You know, when Paul Ryan would condescendingly talk about Joe Biden's son, Beau, you would look at Biden and be like, this man walks the walk. His son does go out there. What you talking about, Paul Ryan, sitting there doing, you know, your exercises in the safety of your home?
All right. They didn't get into, and I guess I need to ask you this.
Anything.
Because Maysoon is your family comes from Palestine, though you're from New Jersey. They didn't get into they talked a little bit about Iran, but nothing about the Israel-Palestine situation, which
what I thought was amazing was they didn't talk about Palestine. They certainly gave a big shout out to Bibi Netanyahu, though.
Yes, they did.
And it was interesting watching Paul Ryan and Biden fight over who loves Bibi more. And I was like, you know, on the edge of my seat thinking, who is Netanyahu going to give the final rose to? Will it be Ryan? Will it be Biden? Because they were literally shouting him out. And I was like, I find it amazing that, you know, we talk about Israel in a completely like red-colored, rose-colored glasses context. Like, you're sitting there being like, I love Bibi. No, I love Bibi. And we're not going to mention that although we're a democracy that tries to separate church and state, that we're blindly supporting two major religious theocracies, Saudi Arabia and Israel. It's like, wash your hands of Saudi Arabia. Don't talk about being hand in hand with Saudi Arabia.
Unless it's, you know, talking about President Obama bowed to the Saudi king.
Oh, right, because that's when we reverse it. But, like, I literally heard one of them say they were hand-in-hand with Saudi, and then 5 seconds later, the other one was like, and our friend Saudi. And I'm like, you talk about Bibi Netanyahu like he's Christina Aguilera. Like, in the middle of this, you know. And then the other big thing that I loved about the Paul Ryan technique was he would just pretend he would play deaf every time there was a question he didn't want to answer.
Uh-huh.
So, like, he didn't hear her asking about whether humanity is an issue when they, when they consider who to save and who to let die.
I hear you.
He's like, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I don't hear women. I'm hearing wah-wah.
Right. Yeah.
And he did the same thing with Quran burning.
Maysoon Zaid, the music's playing. You're at the Arab Comedy Festival in New York next week. ArabComedy.com?
ArabComedy.com, October 18th to the 20th at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. ArabComedy.com.
Okay. Maysoon Zaid, everyone. Follow her on Twitter. Thank you for making me laugh.
Thanks, Nicole. Bye. Have a fun rest of the show.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend. Yeah, you see, a Palestinian and a Jew, and we're friends. Go figure. Nicole Sandler for Tom Hartman.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It is Anything Goes Friday. Nicole Sandler filling in for Tom Hartman today. And let's just get right to the phones because there's a lot of you waiting. So we'll start with David in Occamas, I think, Michigan, listening on Sirius. Hi.
Hey, Nicole. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, a couple of comments about the abortion and the parasite comment. First off, you know, there's not a scientific definition of parasite that I've seen that doesn't state that this would be an organism of another species. Okay, so you're saying it's a scientific fact.
No, I hear. Hold on.
The definition of the dictionary.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now at dictionary.com. Parasite, one, an organism that lives on or in an organism of another species. Known
yeah,
as
I'm
the host.
The same thing.
Okay. Or two, a person who receives support, advantage, or the like from another or others without giving any useful or proper return, as one who lives on the hospitality of others. I suppose that could work. Maybe that's not the right biological term, but in essence, that's what it is.
Well,
it can't live outside the body. If it can't live outside the body, then it is a parasite in that it gets all of its nutrients from the host. The mother is the host.
Nor could someone who's 20 years old live outside of the body without help, if they can't support themselves.
Excuse me?
I mean,
no, that's nonsense. I'm sorry. I'll be Joe Biden. I can either yell at you and tell you you're an idiot, or I could laugh because that's a really funny thing to say. A 20-year-old can't live outside of its mother's house? Come on.
Well, if it can't and it's going to rely on me, then it isn't by definition a parasite.
But it can live. It can eat the trash out of the garbage. Come on, that's just nonsense.
I think life begins at 18. You know, it's not when it's a zygote or not.
Okay, you want to get serious here?
No, I am dead serious. You know, it's all about picking a date. Think about it.
It is the day you are expelled from the mother's uterus and you're no longer attached by the umbilical cord.
So when the last fiber of the umbilical cord is severed, it is then a human life.
Yeah, that's why that's when it's your birthday. That's when it's your birthday. That's the day you're born. That's the day you become a human being. I'm not going to waste time on that anymore. I'm sorry. All right, Dominic in Chicago, WCPT. Hi.
Hey, Nicole. Appreciate taking time. I just wanted to mention, here in Illinois, we don't hear a whole lot about these GMOs, this article that's going on in California. But I did hear on RT TV this week, they mentioned a lot more about it than I ever knew. And it's really kind of freaking me out, actually, the GMOs.
Okay, the GMOs, for people who don't know, genetically modified, what does the O stand for? Not organisms.
Organic, I think.
Maybe. It's the genetically modified stuff that they're messing with our food. Right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But they're talking, like she said on this TV channel, some of the companies that are putting organic in organic foods that are sticking this stuff in there that we don't even know what's on the label.
It is organisms.
Like Kraft food, Dean's food,
it
Pepsi,
is organisms. Okay.
Kashi made by Kellogg's.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's disturbing to me. I mean, organic food, I don't even know what to buy then anymore.
And the
saddest part is it's not just that, but it's Romney's campaign deals with these Monsanto people, and the sadder part is before Obama got elected, there's actually executives from Monsanto in the foods departments and lots of other departments that deal with what should be labeled and not labeled. So it's like, are they supposed to, like, you know, these guys in there, they're not going to self-regulate themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They
no, I know. And by the way, yes, and I looked it up and people are tweeting it is genetically modified organisms. You know what? I have to plead ignorance. I don't know enough about the subject and I need to. In fact, I will deal with the subject on my show.
Please have more information out there because
I think
this should be on the debate. I think this needs to be talked about by the president. The fact that these guys are in the food administration and they work for Monsanto.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Come on.
That is
disgusting. I mean, it seems like it's a loaded gun, right?
You would think. I can promise you this. Look, I'm only here for Tom, obviously, now. And I know, I'm sure Tom will deal with it. But on my show at RadioOrNot.com, I promise in the next week or two, I will do a major segment on GMOs because I think it is an issue, number one, I need to be more educated on, as do the American people. So thanks for bringing it up. I do think that it should come out in the presidential debates. But look at all the topics that they didn't touch on last week, right? And it was the domestic issues. They didn't touch on poverty. They didn't touch on immigration. They didn't. They touched a little bit on education, but not much. They didn't get into the whole controversy over the privatizing of our public education, right? The list goes on and on and on, and it's really disturbing how much they didn't talk about. And I hate to say it, but genetically modified stuff going into our foods is probably not a high priority, and that's just the way Monsanto likes it. Yeah, I know. It's a sad thought. All right. Bob in Palmetto, Florida, listening on TuneIn Radio. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Bob,
your phone is breaking up. Try again.
Can you hear me now?
Okay, now. Don't move.
Okay. Good?
Okay, quickly. We've only got like a minute.
Okay, I'm concerned about Medicare Advantage. Yeah. I'm on regular Medicare.
Bob, you're breaking up. We lost him, I think. Bob, I'm so sorry. I think he's gone. Bob, try to call back. We'll try to get you in. You know, the whole Medicare Advantage thing, that did come up in the debate last night. I have a problem with Medicare Advantage because Medicare, plain old regular Medicare, works just fine. Medicare Advantage brings the for-profit insurance companies into Medicare. Why bring them in? We don't need them. Medicare is efficient. It is what is known as single-payer health care. The government is the provider there, the government or the payer, and the government takes care of your bills. That's what we need is Medicare for all. That's what single-payer health care is. That's what I would like to see us get to from Obamacare. But it's not going to happen unless, you know, we reelect President Obama and make sure Mitt Romney doesn't get in. Yeah, it's a vicious circle. Nicole Sandler for Tom Hartman. More of your calls next.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-987-THOM.
And yes, you can follow me and tweet to me on Twitter. I'm at Nicole Sandler. And my website is radioornot.com. You can email me through that, too.
Thank God it's
it's Friday, and the weekend is just about here. I'm Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com in for Tom Hartman. But as somebody who doesn't have a full-time job these days, I'd be fine if the week kept on going. Anyway, listen, I got to address this because I've gotten a few emails and tweets from people who are telling me that I'm using the word parasite incorrectly because the parasite lives off the host at the expense of the host. Okay, so look, I'm always one to admit when I'm wrong. So maybe that's the wrong word. Someone says maybe you should say parasitic, but I guess that would be the same thing if it hurt the host or it's as I read from dictionary.com of a different species. Regardless, the point that I'm making, and maybe there's a better word for it, and if there is, someone email me or tweet me and let me know. But the fact of the matter is that it's tethered. The fetus is part of the woman's body, and until that baby is born and separated and living as an individual, living, breathing human being, then I'm sorry, it has that sort of symbiotic relationship where it can't live on its own, and so it is part of the mother's body. Okay? All right. Good news that I want to share with you before we forget. CNBC tweeted this out. Full year 2012 deficit fell to $1.089 trillion. That is $207 billion less than the deficit in 2011. And I don't care how you look at it, that is going in the right direction. Okay. All right. Let's move right along. Let's go to Malcolm in Park Forest, Illinois, listening on WCPT. Hi, Malcolm.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you.
About this religious aspect of the debate, people forget that the United States of America is a sovereign nation state. That's a secular government. It's not a theocracy.
Right.
So I'm sick and tired of these phony Christians, evangelicals, and even some of these right-wing Catholics. I happen to be a Catholic myself, and I'm not a right-wing Catholic, trying to inject religion into a secular government. It just doesn't work. It's unconstitutional, and I wish they would stop it.
You and me both. And I'll tell you something. I am not a religious person. I grew up in a Jewish family, but a non-religious Jewish family. I mean, the only time we ever went to temple was if someone was being bar mitzvahed or, you know, a wedding or something. We had three girls, so none of us got bar mitzvah. It was, you know, not religious, right? And I just, religion, I consider myself Jewish by tradition, by family by, you know,
very
that.
Yeah, patriarchal in your culture, you know.
Right, and so.
That's all, that needs to be thrown out, you know.
Right, and I like some of the traditions, and I agree with everybody's right to believe whatever they want to believe, but I think most, as I said earlier, I think most religious beliefs are kind of weird. And,
I like to
and
make
it really,
a quote from, philosophically, from the Bible, about Jesus to these right-wing Christian phonies.
Yeah.
Jesus said, now that's from the horse's mouth, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, that was the first Christian reference to the separation of church from state.
Okay.
So any Christian who claims they believe in Jesus Christ, they should reread that passage and think about what he said.
Well, and they should also follow the teachings. Thank you for the call, Malcolm. I mean, look, as I jokingly say, I feel like I'm more Christian than these evangelicals who don't want to help the poor and don't want to, you know, take care, you know, don't want to share what's good. They don't, you know, they've got no compassion. Well, didn't Christ teach compassion? As an atheist secular Jew, I think I'm more Christian than a lot of these people who wear their Christianity on their sleeves. It's hypocritical. Sherry in Linwood, Washington, listening on AM 1090. On the screen here, it says you want to thank me for covering the R word. Is that religion?
No, Allison, my daughter, is Down syndrome.
Ah, okay.
And I wanted to thank you for that. I heard it several years ago. You were going to talk about it.
Yes.
I didn't get to hear it.
Wow.
Just the beginning, and I think a basketball game came on or something.
Uh-huh.
So I missed the program, but
yeah.
I liked it, and I wish that you would talk about it a little, every once in a while.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, there was a campaign, and it was a few years ago, and I guess maybe I was filling in for Tom back then, too, when it's, you know, that people use that R word, and I'll say it just because this is the retarded word, and they use it. It's sort of like, you know, when people say, oh, that's so gay. And I think people got away from saying that, using it as a pejorative, when people need to realize that it's very hurtful to a lot of people who may not be in a position to say, you know what, that's really hurtful. You shouldn't, please don't do that. And it was a campaign to, you know, not use the word. I can't remember exactly how they.
Well, you know how we don't use the word N-I-G-G-E-R
yes,
anymore.
No, we don't.
And those people are more capable of coping with that than our people are with this. And so I often would like to talk to people about it and say, you know, it's so unfair because if they know what you're saying, it's unfair.
Right. And just know that, you know, as I always tell my daughter, because I have a daughter named Allison, too. And I tell her, you know, put yourself in the other person's shoes. When you say something like that, someone can overhear you and it could be really hurtful. Think about how you'd feel. So, thanks for bringing that up. And it is really important to to remember that others are listening. Yeah. All right. Let's go to John in Sebring,
Hello.
Florida, listening Hello. On Free Speech TV. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Before I get to my main point, let me just say that other guy was an idiot. You got to be 16 to drive a car.
Yes.
You
got
to be 18 to vote.
Yes.
You
got
to be 21 to buy liquor, and
yep.
all of that is based on when you're born,
the
not
day
on
you're,
when you're
born.
Conceived.
Exactly. Thank you. That's why I hung up on him.
We need to form a political block, a coalition between the people who are for women's rights and the people who are for the legalization of drugs. And the slogan, "It's my body, hands off, I'm going to do what I want with my body," works for both groups. And, you know, you could also get the people who want to marry whoever they want to marry. Hey,
that's
it's
right.
my body. I can marry whoever I want.
Exactly.
The people who don't want vaccines with mercury injected into their kids. Hey, these are our bodies. Hands off our bodies.
But you know, I don't know about the mercury thing. Look, I have if you're going to send your kid to public school, you also want to make sure they're vaccinated against disease.
Well, actually, vaccines really haven't done much to curtail disease. The curtailment of disease was the introduction of flush toilets and sanitation, people washing their hands.
Right.
It was concurrent with that, and the vaccines take all the credit for what the plumber should be getting the credit for.
Okay. We're going to have to agree to disagree on the vaccine thing, but
okay.
I hear you on everything else.
Okay, so we're getting the drug legalization people to help the women's rights people and have the women's
Absolutely.
Rights people help the drug legalization people.
I think that's a great idea.
Political block.
I think that's a great idea. Let's do it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, yes, moving right along. I want to get in as many calls as we can. Who do we have now? Shar in South Bend, Indiana, watching on Free Speech TV. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Now, my question is what if his wife was violently raped, not mattering what kind of race it was, would he want his wife to have that child knowing it may have mental issues because of what he did?
Say that again? What? You're talking about Paul Ryan, okay.
If his wife was violently raped,
yeah,
and he's against abortions,
yeah,
would he want his wife to have this child?
If it was
a Hispanic or a black man or a white man,
The race of the rapist shouldn't have any bearing on whether or not he wants his wife to have the baby or not. But it should be up to the wife to say, do I want to give birth to my rapist child? She should have the choice to say whether she does or not. And the fact of the matter is, I'm sorry, nobody sitting in Washington, D.C. should make that decision for you. It should be up to the woman and her family, and in the case of her health, her doctor. That was kind of a weird question, but okay. Liz, listening at TomHartman.com in West L.A., hi.
Hi. I want to start the conversation by telling you I was brought up Christian, and that kind of led to my first career in social work.
Hmm.
And then I went to the court system, so I have a pretty good history of working with families and in that venue. And I would not believe in abortion if every child that was institutionalized, every child that was in a foster care placement was placed in a good Christian or other religious home or any kind of good home where they were well taken care of. But these people, a lot of these people just speak out of both sides of their mouth.
They
want to tell you us how to live our lives, and then they don't want to step up to the plate and take care of a child. If you were a very physically disabled or a mentally disabled child, how many of these wonderful Christians want to take care of one of those?
They
in
don't.
Their home.
And you know what it's like to do that? I don't know firsthand, but I can imagine. I know how hard it is to take care of a perfectly healthy child. Look,
right.
I adopted my daughter. I adopted my daughter from Kazakhstan, actually. And, you know, I saw a lot of kids in that orphanage who need homes. You know, here, I'd be anti-abortion if the Republican Party, who doesn't want to pay, you know, help people out who are in need with food stamps or assistance, would, you know, clothe and feed and take care of a pregnant woman and then take care of the baby after it's born. Actually, no, I take it back. I think it's a woman's right to choose what's right for her body, her family, and her life. Nicole Sandler for Tom Hartman. We'll be back. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Nicole Sandler. Follow me on Twitter at Nicole Sandler. And check out my show sometime at RadioOrNot.com.
From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
I hope so. We're trying to keep democracy. I am Nicole Sandler of RadioOrNot.com, in for Tom Hartman, and man, does time fly when you're having fun. All right, let's get some more phone calls in here while we can. Tim in Portland, Oregon, listening on KPOJ. Hi.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Just one second. I just had a question or a comment on the moderator didn't ask or really push a question on she said national security threats, what national security threat posed that warrants an increase in the defense budget. And she asked it, but it was, they were debating back and forth, and it just kind of got overlooked. And I wish she had pressed that question. It was really,
you know,
one of the
nothing,
better questions of the evening.
Nothing warrants increasing the defense budget. Our defense budget is larger than the next, I think it's 26 nations combined, and 25 of those nations are supposedly our allies. Why do we need to spend so much money on, and I'm doing the air quotes here, defense? It's not defense, it's offense. Why? When did we become so offensive?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they had a good question or an answer for that, so that's why they didn't answer it, you know?
I guess. No, I think our defense budget, our military budget, is obscene, and we need to cut it. We need to, you know what? Think of all the good we could do with the money that we spend there to, wage war. That's another topic that gets me a little riled up.
That's all I had. Thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Thanks for listening. Kelly in Berkeley, California, listening on Sirius. Hi.
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 I'm an artist, and I did a piece around abortion, and there's just four facts that I want to kind of put out there to think about.
Okay.
And, 39 is the average number of childbearing years between onset of menstruation and menopause.
Okay.
You know, we don't talk about that with abortion. We have 1 in 4 is the number of children in the United States that suffer from food insecurity.
Yep.
We exceeded 7 billion in world population on March 12, 2012. And the average number of women having an abortion is 1 in 3.
Okay. All right.
And those, we haven't talked about overpopulation since the 1960s.
Yeah. All right. What's the point you're trying to make?
I'm switching to my.
Yeah, your phone's
landline.
Really noisy, so, okay. What's the point?
Well, the point is that, you know, when the Catholics talk about that we shouldn't have birth control and that there shouldn't be any abortion. I mean, birth control isn't 100% effective. Thinking about 39 years about worrying about getting pregnant.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It is. And look, I don't think anyone should use abortion as birth control, and I don't think people do. You know, sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes the health of the mother is at risk. Sometimes it's just not the right thing. But it shouldn't be some guys in D.C. telling a woman that you have to have this baby. You were, you know, you got pregnant. Yeah, it was an accident. Tough luck. Now you gotta give birth and you gotta take care of the child, or make that really horrible decision, you know, and say, and give up this baby once it's born. It's, you know, who are these people to say that this is what you have to do? It's your body. Ed in Cayucas, California, listening on Sirius. Hi.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Just the kind of a point that I think is interesting. When you listen to the conservative points, their argument regarding Medicare is not to place a government panel or government between you and your health care.
Right.
But when it comes to women's health, you know, it's exactly the opposite. They want to inject the government, you know, right into the middle of it.
They want to be
and
in
not
your
only in the middle of it, but inside of it.
Right. I know, and they say, we're small government Republicans. No, you're not. If you're for small government, then get your government out of my body.
I agree totally.
Thank you for the call. Roberta in Lamar, Arkansas, on watching on Free Speech. Hi.
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 I had a comment on your definition of a fetus.
Yes.
I think it's hysterical.
Oh,
when
okay.
When you stop and consider about it, the fetus is a... When the baby's born, when the parasite comes out, it's a child, and it still lives off its host until the host dies. People forget that. And I was just wondering, what would you call the sperm that fertilizes that parasite?
I hadn't even thought of that.
I thought that would be something else to say
sperm,
these guys that want to control our bodies. Anyway, that was just my comment,
okay.
And I appreciate you.
Roberta,
for taking my call.
thank you so much for calling. Actually, thanks to everybody. As I said, I said time flies when you're having fun, and I meant it. Look, this is great. It's a great honor to be filling in for Tom Hartman. Big thanks to Tom and Louise, who are just awesome. And Tom's got an awesome staff as well. Sean Taylor, his executive producer, Shane Farnan on the controls in D.C., and Danielle Gilday on the phones, and Jim Javinsky on the video. You guys do such great work, and I really appreciate it. Tom's going to be back on Monday, and I'm sure he'll pick up the discussion. Of course, Tuesday is the big second presidential debate. I certainly wish we had Martha Raddatz moderating that one again. But no, it'll be Candy Crowley, which should be interesting. Again, you can always find me at my online home at RadioOrNot.com. I do an online show there Monday through Thursday mornings from 10 to noon, RadioOrNot.com for the live show. And the podcast is always available anytime. So I hope you'll check it out. Follow me on Twitter at Nicole Sandler. And you can email me and make comments on my blog at RadioOrNot.com too. Thank you more than anything, though, for hanging with me the last few days and putting up with my opinions and my mug on the TV. Big thanks. Have a wonderful weekend. Way to go, Joe. And maybe he and Bill Clinton can coach Barack Obama for the next few days and getting a little injection of Joe Biden into Obama in the next debate. All right. Have a great weekend. Thanks. Until next time. See you on the radio.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, go to TomHartman.com.